Is that coming through now? Thank you. I'm going to turn it on in just a bit. Well, good morning to each one of you. I'm very pleased to be here. Cindy and I have had a lot of travel this year, and it's just so heartwarming to see your smiling faces and tell you that even though we're seeing each other in church, I'm looking forward to actually getting together with personally more of you. We've just kind of been out of the house. And so I would ask also for your prayers that we're actually about to leave on Tuesday again, and we'll be gone for a couple more weeks, but that the Lord will go with us, because that's the purpose. And that's actually the purpose for each of you in the lives you're living, whether you're going to school or whether you're going to work, whether you're being a mom at home. It's all to do the Lord's work, to be a part of the body of Christ. Today, my subject is going to be repentance. And I hope, well, let me give this example. Last week in Phone Church, we heard a lot of really neat testimonies. But one I remembered real well, it touched me very deeply. Our sister Nina Osaka, I believe she's from Kenya, but she's been living here in Texas for several years now. But in very recent time, she's gone through just multiple huge loss, the most recent being the loss of her mother. But I think it's her mother and her uncle and a nephew. There's been a whole bunch of people, more than I've mentioned, that she mentioned at that time, and it just kind of brought her down further and further, and she couldn't feel like she was truly getting her feet under her. But recently, as she's been trying to do better and she's been praying and studying the Word, a neat thing happened. And I would compare it, you know that picture of Paul when he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water to Jesus. And he saw the wind and the waves boisterous. And his faith began to fail. And as he started to sink beneath the waves, you know, he cried out and he reached. And Jesus caught him by the hand and saved him. And for Nina, well, I'll read it to you. For Nina, one of the scriptures she came to, and I don't think these things are by chance. It's in Isaiah 49. In all this loss and her broken heart, these words, you know, it's, what is it? It's like Jesus reaching down through Isaiah in about 2,700 years and catching her hand. Just at the right time, it says, verse 13, 49th chapter of Isaiah, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains of the Lord. Hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Verse 15, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." "Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." And it's always my prayer when I come to preach that it will have some piece of that to encourage you, to help you focus on something maybe, but it'll be something needed for somebody to help them do better, because I need you. I need you next to me on this spiritual battle, this spiritual field of battle. I'll go ahead and turn this on now, I think. So I'm going to be talking about baptism. While this warms up, I'll tell you. Well, actually, I may work you a little. Here we go. What's baptism mean? Can you define it for me? Not baptism, sorry. Repentance is what I'm going to talk about today. What did I say earlier? I'm going to talk about repentance. Is it coming on? Okay. This light is blank, so don't worry about that, okay? What is repentance? Right. This is blank. Okay. Amy? It's a change of heart. Good. Anybody else? Amy? It's turning away from your sin. Anybody else? These are all right, by the way. Karen? It's going the opposite way. It's turning yourself around. Anybody else? Gordon?
Like if the garden's not my will, thy will be done.
Could I say that it's turning over to God to try to accomplish His will, His purposes in you?
Changing.
Absolutely.
Your way, getting closer to God.
Good. Thanks, Mark. Confession or admitting that you did wrong. Very, absolutely. Anything else you want to throw in? Because everybody's been right so far. Let me ask a few more questions. Why are we baptized? I keep saying baptized. Why do we repent? What's
broken heart?
A broken heart. Debbie. To turn over a new slate so we look just like this screen, clean. You realize the error in your life and you want to change it. Adam.
I think it's a clearing of a feeling of guilt.
Important. That's important.
And a desire to be closer to God.
Very good. Now you got an A. I'm going to close my screen and go home. But no, I want to point out something. Give me a second. I'm going to. What shall I do first? Well, let me tell you a story first. I'm going to go clear back to, it was probably the 70s, and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. When I was young and still had a memory. So that's probably why I'm telling this story clear back then. It was back in the days where Len Dawson was the quarterback and Hank Stram was the coach. And it was late in the season where they were really having the playoffs, and every game was just critical. It was very important. And I'm a little bit lazy as a fan. I'm not necessarily one who's always watching. But late in the season, when things are getting critical, lots of times I would turn it on and watch it. And this game, I don't remember who they were playing, but they came out and the other team just was totally dominating. The Chiefs could not put together a play. The other team was always on top of them. And that whole first half, the other team would score, and the Chiefs just kept falling farther and farther and farther behind. You start to get or develop this feeling of hopelessness about the game. You know, that's the way it's going to be. That's just the way it is, you know. And you're not that encouraged. And rare occasion, I kept it on. I got through the first half, and they had the halftime break. And so they show a lot of advertisements on the TV, but I know in football, the team goes to the locker room. And they spend the time with their coach. Well, second half starts out. The players take the field. And like from moment one, they didn't even respond to the other team the same way. They didn't work together in the same way. Everything was changed. And in no time at all, I was getting this hope. They started completely dominating. And the other team just could not compete with them. And it was like a total turnover. And I'm thinking, who are these guys? You know, what happened in that locker room? What did their coach say? I wish I had those words. What had the power to turn them around like that? And the finish of the story is, by the end of the game, they had come back. They completely dominated. They won the game decisively. But I just remember, ever since then, I think I've wished, man, I'd like to know what that coach said. I'd like to know. Okay, now I'll show you my slide. Now this, if you go look up the definition of repentance in your Webster's dictionary, it's going to be different than this. This is the Webster's dictionary that was published first time. This is the definition from 1828, the first American dictionary. And things have changed a lot. That was 191 years ago. So a lot's happened since then. Words mean different things. And how many of you think you're going to find scripture quotations in a modern dictionary? We don't. It's been taken out. But honestly, the definition of words has changed a lot too. So I like to back up. I like to get a better idea of what was being said. And so let me read this. This is from the 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster. And it's the definition of repentance. Repentance, it's a noun. Number one, sorrow for anything done or said. The pain or grief which a person experiences in consequence of the injury or inconvenience produced by his own conduct. So I think you're going to hear yourselves. You are right on target about the things you added as to define repentance. In theology, number two, the pain, regret, or affliction which a person feels on account of his past conduct because it exposes him to punishment. This sorrow proceeding merely from the fear of punishment is called legal repentance. as being excited by the terrors of legal penalties, and it may exist without an amendment of life. So that's one definition. This legal repentance is a like a regret and a fear of punishment. It's a fear of consequences based on what you've done. And that definition doesn't require a change of life. Number three, I don't think you're just going to find this the same in the Merriam Dictionary, which I'm not sure, the last update might have been 2016, I'm not certain. Real penitence, sorrow or deep contrition for sin as an offense and dishonor to God, a violation of His holy law, and the basest ingratitude towards a being of infinite benevolence. This is called evangelical repentance and is accompanied and followed by amendment of life. That means it has to be followed by or accompany a change of life. Repentance is a change of mind or a conversion from sin to God. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And then it gives a couple scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, and Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Final statement. Repentance is the relinquishment of any practice from conviction that it has offended God. So, yeah, there's definitely a reason I went back to bring this in, because I need to do something else. Because some of these words that are used to describe this have changed drastically. What is evangelical repentance? What does evangelical mean? What I think is confusing, I've jumped over two slides. What it says today, evangelical means, will be more the way you understand it because of the history that's taken place in the last 191 years. And it incorporates that you have to be Protestant. It emphasizes the atonement and death of Jesus Christ, salvation by faith, and sometimes I think since this definition, it's for some people, it's actually been taught to the point where actions or a change of life isn't even important. But when you hear evangelical, you probably think of somebody holding evangelical principles according to a modern definition. In other words, you talk different. You don't say Jesus, you say Jesus, you know. It talks about here, number five, it says marked by military or crusading zeal. You know, that's what you think of when you're thinking about evangelical. But to get this definition right, to understand it right, we need to go back to what the definition